But first, officials from North and South Korea are expected to hold face-to-face talks this week for the first time since 2015. And joining me for our weekly look at the top international stories of the coming days is the BBC's Alexander Griffiths. And Alex, these are the first in-person talks in a couple of years. What do we expect to come out of them?
Yeah, that's right. After months of, you know, increased tension following ballistic missile tests and nuclear weapons tests, these talks are sort of marking an important softening in relations between North and South Korea. Well, why now? Well, it's all to do with the Winter Olympics, which are going to take place in South Korea next month. And there's a possibility that some North Korean athletes might take part. Now, South Korea obviously wants a period of calm during those games. And last week, a telephone hotline between the two countries was reconnected after the North cut it off in 2016. So the big question is whether these talks taking place tomorrow in the so-called peace village in the demilitarized zone, whether those talks could lead to something more long-term, like a regular dialogue again between the North and South. I spoke to the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus, earlier this morning, and he told me that there are two key issues that stand in the way of any potential diplomatic solution.
One is that North Korea, for all indications, is not going to give up its nuclear program. And indeed, it's likely to have to carry out more missile and nuclear tests to prove the validity of that program. The other fact is, of course, that the Trump administration has made it very clear that it believes it will not allow that situation to happen.
Well, Mark, there are tensions between Washington and South Korea, a US ally, over this point. South Korea doesn't like that sometimes blunt rhetoric that comes out of Washington. But at the same time, South Korea knows that its relationship and the alliance with the United States is an important one. In any case, when the two options on the table are a potentially catastrophic war on the Korean Peninsula and reopening diplomatic talks, the benefits of tomorrow's meeting, you know, are certainly clear.
Well, speaking of blunt rhetoric, let's move to Pakistan now, which was the recipient of President Trump's first tweet of 2018. He said the U.S. had received, quote, nothing but lies and deceit in return for the money it had given to that country. Mr. Trump also accused Pakistan of being a safe haven for terrorists. What's been the reaction within Pakistan to all that, and what are the wider implications for that part of the world?
That's right, Mark. Mr. Trump's comments set off quite a reaction in Pakistan. The US hasn't said precisely how much aid is going to be cut, but a Pentagon spokesman said that it could be as much as $900 million. Our correspondent in the capital, Islamabad, is Sukunda Kamani, and I spoke to him earlier this morning, and I asked how officials there are responding to Mr. Trump's comments.
They say that there are simply no safe havens in Pakistan. They say that America doesn't appreciate the thousands and thousands of Pakistani soldiers and civilians who have been killed in the country's war on terrorism.
But as our correspondent highlights, a void that's left by a sudden removal of US involvement in Pakistan can actually be filled quite quickly.
If anything, Pakistan at the moment is growing closer and closer to China. And China has come out in support of Pakistan, saying that Pakistan's efforts in tackling terrorism should be recognized internationally. So potentially we could just see Pakistan go even closer in its relationship to China if it moves further away from America.
So will the US turning away from Pakistan mean a stronger alliance with Beijing? We're going to have to wait and see. Now, it's worth adding as well, Mark, that rocky relations between Pakistan and the US aren't a new phenomenon. Administrations under both President George W. Bush and President Obama both criticized alleged support by Pakistan of elements of Al-Qaeda and also elements of the Taliban from neighboring Afghanistan. And in 2011, Pakistan also cut off some security assistance to US forces, and that was following the raid in Abbottabad that killed Osama bin Laden. So this is a new twist in a fairly troubled relationship between Pakistan and America. But it's also one to think about in the context of China potentially stepping up to fill the role that this administration appears to be stepping back from.
Finally this morning, Alex, the Norwegian Prime Minister is due to visit Washington this week. What's the significance of that?
Yes, on Wednesday, President Trump will host Norway's Prime Minister, Erna Solberg. Norway is a member of NATO and it's a close ally of the United States. They're expected to discuss various security and economic issues, including NATO and the fight against so-called Islamic State. But what you might not know is that this time last year, the US started sending its troops to train in Norway. This was billed originally as a trial period of a year, But the deployment has now been doubled and it's been extended through to the end of this year. So around 330 or so US Marines are in the country at the moment. This is a break from the norm. NATO's peacetime policy is not to post foreign troops to Norway, which of course shares a border with Russia. The Marines are specifically there to learn Arctic warfare skills. That's how to fight and survive in the snow and the extreme cold weather. Last year, the BBC's defence correspondent, Jonathan Beale, he was invited by the US Marines to join them on their training exercises in Norway. And I spoke to him earlier today and I asked him whether he was surprised that that deployment to Norway has actually been extended to the end of this year.
I think it's not a surprise they've returned. I think it's diplomatically a bit difficult for Norway because they don't want to give the impression that there is going to be a permanent US military presence in their country because that will antagonise the Russians, and it has antagonised the Russians. But the reality is that the Norwegians want the US there. They want other NATO countries to train in the high north alongside them to prepare for, you know, what could happen.
So one point to note is the Arctic's thought to contain some of the world's largest untapped oil and gas reserves. Now, Russia in the past has made moves towards claiming some of those resources for itself. So along with the fight against so-called Islamic State and NATO policy over the coming months, a tighter security collaboration between Norway and the United States could well be an important talking point for President Trump and Norwegian Prime Minister Erna Solberg when she visits Washington on Wednesday.
All right, that's the BBC's Alexander Griffiths. Alex, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.